Over the past month, about a quarter of high school senior classes took a vote and named one of their number most likely to succeed. It seems like a harmless ritual that doesn't affect much beyond the yearbook, but more and more schools have decided to end these polls, in part due to concern that the title can put too much pressure on recipients. A recent poll by the high school reunion networking site MemoryLane.com found nearly one-third of those named most likely came to regard it as a curse. If you were voted most likely to succeed, did it turn out to be a curse or a blessing? What effect did it have on your life? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Sue Schellenbarger wrote about the burden of being named most likely to succeed in her Work and Family column in the Wall Street Journal. She joins us now from her home in Portland, Oregon. Nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Neil. Nice to join you.
And you talk with one man in your piece, Blake Atwood, who said being noosed with most likely to succeed is like lugging an albatross to every job interview. Noosed, that's an interesting verb.
Blake felt that way. He was haunted by the label, I think felt stuck with it, and constantly wondered if he was measuring up.
And constantly felt as if he was, that this was some kind of expectation placed on him rather than a vote for success in high school, which is rather different.
Well, that's true, and this designation is a little different from some of the others, such as most popular, because it sticks with you in the sense that the high school interpretation of most likely to succeed is pretty conventional. You rise to the top of your field, you make a lot of money, you become famous, and it stays stationary. And for people who grow and evolve as adults do, I think people felt that was confining. It haunted some of them. One woman said that it was hanging over her ever since she earned it 20 years earlier.
And Sue Schellenbarger, does it really affect people's lives, though?
I think it adds to, for some, what I found, it broke out about one-third of folks felt it was a burden. That is, they always wondered if they were measuring up. They wondered if perhaps they weren't fulfilling their peers' expectations. Others found it inspiring and took courage from it. And so those folks, one young man, a Howard University graduate, told me that remembering that his classmates had voted him most likely to succeed actually kept him from seriously considering dropping out of Harvard Law School a few years later. He continues to wonder at age 30 as a PhD candidate whether he's making it. Am I measuring up? He just doesn't want to disappoint those folks back home.
Doesn't want to disappoint the folks back home. That's a lot of people get out of high school and never look back.
And never think a thing about it. And some of the research I did showed that people can't even remember who was voted most likely to succeed. And about one-third of the folks in the MemoryLane.com poll said that it had absolutely no significance for them whatsoever. So, sure, a lot of people do forget it. But there is something about the notion of success that's laden with, you know, cultural values that make you feel pressure, that make you feel almost that you have to be perfect. And I think that sense of perfectionism was what haunted a lot of the people I spoke with.
Also, it depends on your definition of success.
Well, that's absolutely right. And it was fascinating to me to speak with one young woman, a very talented young woman, whose definition of success in high school was achievement and awards. And she drove herself mercilessly and got all of the above and was invited to apply to a Harvard University summer program for highly gifted students and graduated most likely to succeed and suddenly felt she was lost. She lost her sense of direction. She began to feel that she wanted other things in life, and she spent the next decade or so redefining what success really meant to her. So it is, you put your finger on it, it is that how do we define success, and does that change over time? And for this young woman I'm speaking of now, she said that it became a milestone for her, that designation of how much she had changed. Now she values relationships, she values experiences over money and prestige, and for her that was a valuable mile marker in her life.
I'm not sure I could remember that long ago, but how I would have measured success as a high school senior and how I would measure that differently today.
One University of Chicago professor actually took up the issue of high school class reunions, and he took a look at, I think a half dozen of them, and went back and studied the participants in depth, and he was astonished by how uniform the consensus was on what is the definition of success. It meant making lots of money, gaining status, and fame, or rising to the top of your profession, almost across the board. And I think that is what makes people feel so stuck on this issue.
And people 10 or 20 years out might redefine it quite differently as, being happy and being a productive member of society.
Well, that's right. Or they define it as deepening their relationships, being a successful parent, having what they feel is meaningful travel or meaningful community service activities. And those aren't things you think about so much when you're 18, or at least many people don't. So it serves as a milestone if you're mentally resilient enough to see it that way, I think.
Well, let's get some callers in on the conversation. If you were voted most likely to succeed, did it prove to be a blessing or a curse? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. We'll start with Stacy. Stacy with us from Nashville.
Hi there.
Hi, Stacy.
Hey, I was one of those voted most likely to succeed, and I have a hard time looking at my peers from high school anymore because I don't feel like I have any way measured up to that expectation that I felt like was set forth by that award, which I was so excited to get back then. I was very, very musical, and I still am, and I still sing professionally from time to time, but the course that I have chosen in my life is that of a mother. I have four children. And where I feel very successful and happy with that course and recognize so much value in that choice, I do have a really difficult time facing my peers from high school because they always say, well, you were so talented. Why didn't you do anything with it?
Have you considered moving to Bora Bora?
That would be wonderful.
I'm sure as you've come to redefine it, your classmates will be accepting too. But do you go back to high school reunions?
I've been to one, yes, and everybody wanted to know what I was doing with singing, not how are my kids doing.
Well, there's time yet, Stacy.
I hope so.
And you're in the right city.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Here's an email we have from Lori in St. Paul. I was voted most likely to succeed as well as most mischievous. I could only pick one, so I chose mischievous. In other words, I would rather not take myself too seriously. I've been extremely successful in five careers and now begin a career as an artist. And it's interesting, Sue Schellenbarger, one of the people that you talked to, was also offered the opportunity of making a choice between most likely to succeed and something else.
I think the emailer probably made the better choice. Mischievous is a label that's easier to wear over the long term.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the woman I spoke to was also voted most likely to be remembered, and she chose most likely to succeed. And she said, looking back now, she really wishes that she'd rather be memorable, she said, than be stuck with this definition of success.
Let's go next to Kirk, and Kirk with us from Bucks County in Pennsylvania.
Hey, I was actually voted most likely to get mugged.
Really?
Yeah. I had a horrific time in high school. I went to Pensbury, a large high school, late 70s, early 80s, and, you know, I'm a gay man, and it was a really horrible time. And, in fact, it was so bad, I didn't even want to go to college. And my mother bribed me to go to college with a used VW Bug and eventually got into education and have a PhD now. But from the high school experience, not a chance would I have thought that I would have ended up being a teacher.
And have you ever found yourself down a dark alley staring at the wrong end of a Saturday night special?
Once when I lived in New York City, yeah. So maybe they were right.
Maybe they were right. You may not have been the only one who was mugged from your class. Kirk, thanks very much for the story.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Here's an email from Elizabeth. Luckily, I managed to live down being class clown, but sadly, I still can't take the title of most accident prone. Last year, I fell off my second floor porch and broke my back. Ouch.
Oh, you know, Neil, it's interesting. These can be very painful votes, these polls. If the kids voted were most likely to have a bad reputation or most likely to have a conversation with himself, those can come back to haunt you in the future. And that is another reason that these polls are diminishing in popularity. Fewer schools are running them.
Let's see if we can go. Really, fewer are running them. Not just most likely to succeed, but most mischievous, too?
Yes, more schools are cutting them out because of some of the legal and ethical sensitivities. For example, one young woman came back and sued her high school after she was voted worst reputation, among other things. And they can, school can be kind of tough, and there can be some mudslinging sometimes, even in good humor. And if that goes up on somebody's Facebook page, it can haunt them later. So that's one reason that the number of schools doing this has been declining.
Well, let's see if we can go next to Nathan. And Nathan's on the line from Gainesville.
Hey, I've just voted most likely to succeed. I'm graduating this Friday from high school, and it's kind of foreboding, I guess, or it's kind of scary.
Well, I'm sorry to expose you to this. What led your classmates, do you think, to vote you most likely to succeed?
I'm not really sure, actually. I mean, I do well in my classes. I get good grades, but, like, I really don't know.
Well, bear it with a light heart, I think, is the advice that we could give you based on the story that we're reading from Sue Schellenbarger and on the advice that we're getting from our callers.
I will make sure to.
And if Class Clown is still available, go for that.
No, it's not. It's a shame.
Okay. Nathan, congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking about the burden of being voted most likely to succeed. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Holly, and Holly with us from Chesapeake in Virginia.
Hi there.
Hi, Holly.
How are you guys today?
Very well, thanks.
Thanks, guys. I was voted most likely to succeed back in 2000 in high school. It's, you know, been about 11 years now. And I definitely am not where I thought I would be. You know, at 16, 17 years old, I thought by now I'd be graduated from college with a master's degree on my way to working on a, you know, solid family. And here I am still feeling like I'm stuck. You know, I didn't graduate from Virginia Tech yet. You know, I'm working as a manager at a restaurant doing the best that I can, but, you know, barely holding my head above water. And a lot of the things that she was saying about, you know, your definition of success is different now than it was in high school, I've had to really try and define what it is for me for success. And the whole feeling of being lost, really trying to come into my own at this point. You know, I don't want to blame my classmates for anything.
Of course
not. Their fault, you know. It's my own. But it's also one of those things that the sheltering nature of high school and the structured nature of high school is so much different than the way that the real world is. So you get out in the world, and it's not exactly the same way as the regimented go to class, go home, do your homework, go to class, go home, do your homework.
One of the things that's different, Holly, though, is the timeline, which is, of course, in high school, everything, as you say, is very regimented. And in real life, the timeline can be quick or slow. It varies person to person. You may be just on a slightly different arc than everybody else.
That's what I hope. You know, I'm trying to justify it in my own self and not compare myself to other people, you know, and make my own way now and find what's, you know, going to make me happiest in life.
That is the way to approach it, Holly. And look at it this way. You could be busing at that restaurant.
Yes, I could. Instead, I'm managing and doing a little better than that. So.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Holly, you should know, too, that many people got decked by the recession, and even the most promising young people coming out of high school faced setbacks. One young woman who also received that label in high school said she tried to start a business, and it was taking her years and years to get it off the ground, and instead of the 2 years she projected. So you're not alone in that.
Yeah. And it was one of those things, too. From high school, I thought that college would be the answer. It would somehow show me the path to what I was supposed to be, where I was supposed to go. And in reality, I needed to find that within myself. Like Virginia Tech was going to make that happen for me. You know, I had to find it. And I'm still searching for it, but, you know, I'm getting there. So.
Well, good luck, Holly.
Thank you very much, Neil.
This email from Brian. As a teacher, I always ask my students why they don't put themselves as most likely to succeed. I ask if they think they will be a failure. Why would they say someone else is better than them? Great topic. I'm not sure he's understood the concept of self-esteem in high school, which could be a little low. But maybe that's different for teachers.
One young woman I interviewed had asked her classmates to vote her most likely to succeed. She had a hardscrabble upbringing by her single grandmother, and she was determined to succeed. And for her, that meant survival rather than, you know, a lot of money. And she was voted most likely to succeed, and she made that her mission in life and actually is doing quite well now as a young entrepreneur in New York City.
Adam's on the line from Boston.
Hello.
Hi, Adam.
I just caught you in the car on the way home, and I was laughing to myself because my 10th high school reunion is this summer, and I was voted most likely to succeed 3 out of the 4 years in high school. And the only reason it wasn't 4 is that the year that I didn't win, there wasn't a best all around category. So the kid that won that won most likely to succeed instead.
I see.
And I was laughing because I'm now an Episcopal priest, and I was wondering if my classmates in high school would think that was success, because I certainly do.
Sue?
You raised such a good question, Adam. I love that story. And I think that Holly raised a similar values question earlier when she said, I have four children. I'm doing great by my lights. When MemoryLane.com did a poll on whether people thought that most likely to succeed candidates had met that projection, people generally said, yep, they did really well. I think that this is one reason people don't go back, though, to their high school reunions, because often that most likely to succeed label is popped right there on your name tag with your senior picture, and people don't want to confront that. If you know, they may feel quite solid in their own moorings and walk into that room with their former peers, and everybody says, that's all you're doing? So you raise a very good issue.
I wonder, though, since I'm in a profession that tends to define success differently than other people, if it's more distilled in my case, just because for me success has nothing to do with money at all, and in some cases it's actually better not to have it as a clergy person.
Well, I can understand the distinction, though I suspect those questions stop popping up once the caller appears.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to my reunion because it's in Alabama and it's a little bit of a trek. But if I had, I think I would have left the caller at home.
Okay, Adam. Thanks very much for the call. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just a couple of emails. I was the female recipient of Most Likely to Succeed in my class. I honestly didn't even remember that until I started listening to the segment from Beth in Emporia, Kansas. And this from Tracy. I was voted most desirable to kiss. One, I had no idea that category existed. Two, it was profoundly disturbing to know that my peers, 500 high school seniors, thought of me that way. Sue Sellenbarger, thank you very much for the Wall Street Journal. This is NPR News.